Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue. And joining me as always, Steven with Midnight Hatter. What's going on?
Happy. It is almost the end of the week. You know, there's that old saying, right, where the joke goes something like, you're in an elevator and you say, oh, TGIF. And somebody's like, no, S-H-I-T. And it's like, no, TGIF. Like, thank God it's Friday. And it's like, no, S-H-I-T. Sorry, honey, it's Thursday. But I feel like
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that joke?
That's good.
I feel like Thursday is like my favorite day because we get to do the Gundam Explained show.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's funny that you say that. So this day is shit. No, that's a good point, though, because I bring that up like on your show yesterday, which was a lot of fun and it gets deep. Love it. But it was, you know, where, yeah, for some reason, you know, when I start off my work week, you know, by the middle of it, I am tired. And so having these 2 days are, it's like the, you know, what we call it, the MCU of the Gundam Explained podcast. We have the Wednesday and the Thursday.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, it's funny because we had that one, was it a week ago, where at the end of your show, my office started flooding. So then, like, the next episode, with the next day, and then I explained what happened.
That was definitely like a to be continued.
Yeah, that was that
on
was
the cool. Next exciting episode.
that was cool. But no, yeah, thanks everyone for joining. Yeah, so glad to talk some Gundam. There's been some cool Gundam stuff going on, and especially for me, the main topic for today's show about the movie news, a little bit of news, but huge implications. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do some fan casting, even though I hate it. So we're going to need help from the chat. We do this every once in a while. It's fun.
Can I lay some ground rules?
Oh, yeah.
No Nick Offerman.
Oh, yeah. That's a good example.
It's like, done. No more Nick Offerman.
unless it's for something we haven't thought of.
Yeah.
Like Celia Zabi or something. Yeah, I don't know. No, yeah, we'll talk about that. That'll be fun to do. And talking about casting, I want to talk about Ryan Reynolds that gets cast in things. Because I was thinking of him for the movie, but there's been some recent news that's really interesting. I talked to you about it, you know, before, but we'll dive into it. And then
spicy Hollywood news. Are we becoming like actual YouTubers here?
When it affects Blade, I'm telling you, it will circle back to Blade, even though this podcast is not about Wesley Snipes.
It always comes back to Blade.
Yeah. So there's that. And then, yeah, a few little other things. I've got to remember. I don't want to forget to show off some Gunpla someone posted in the Discord server. Some of their customs, they look awesome. But to start, I always like to talk about what we've got into Gundam, or not necessarily anything. What nerd hobby cool stuff have we gotten to this week?
Oof, that's a big question.
Is that a lot? Is that a lot? I mean, because sometimes it's hard, because even for me, it's like, well, I worked. Okay, what did I do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
I got a lovely care package from one of the Patreons. So shout out Nintendo Gal. This was one of the included pieces in there. And of course I was silly because, you know, when it came, you know, she'd shipped it in parts, right? So what this is, if for you guys just, you know, listening to the audio version, is it is a Zeta Gundam bust that is actually also doubles as a stand. Now, what my silly self did is I did not realize that, you know, she'd obviously removed the V-fin for safety in travel. And so I was like, oh, it must not have come with a V-fin. No problem, because what do? I always make molds of everything. So I had I'd gotten out my Silinot. I had poured it out. I was getting ready to microwave it to make a cast of the Zeta Gundam Exceed head so that I could cast a new V-fin. And I was like, hey, you know, I wonder what's in this box here. And wouldn't you know it, the other parts
that's funny.
Gundam bust. I was like, oh.
So you were going to make a cast?
I was going to make a copy of the Zeta Gundam Exceed model kit head.
Yeah.
You know, of just the V-fin to replace what I thought was the missing V-fin from this. But
that would have been interesting.
I was just dumb. I didn't open the package all the way.
No, that's funny. I mean, I do that all the time with Legos. But no, but that could have been cool because you could have casted it. What made you want to cast it instead of just like getting a 3D file, perhaps, and 3D.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know why. I don't know why 3D printing didn't immediately jump to my mind. I think if I'm going to be self-flattering, then I would say that there is still a part of me, despite the fact that I am a huge advocate of 3D printing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a part of me that feels that 3D printing, even as difficult as it is still kind of cheating when it comes to hobbies. And so anything that I can scratch build or make silicone molds and make resin copies of, I will try to do that first before I turn to the 3D printer.
You know, it's very interesting. I'm like that with some things too, because it's almost like it's personal. Like it's just your personal, like for instance, for, you know, lately on my Gundam videos where I have a collectible, the music that's playing is music I made, because for some reason I just didn't feel like, even though I could easily get royalty free music.
Yeah.
It's like, well, since I know how to make basic music, not like I'm an amazing musician, but I know how to make basic, cool, bouncy beats. I was like, well, I'll just throw that on there. And it kind of has that same sort of thing where, yeah, it was more work, but I kind of felt like I had control of what the album was.
I think that's important. You know, it's kind of the opposite of the old, you know, Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, where he's like, oh, you know, your scientists were so obsessed with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think that they should. Well, sometimes, you know, maybe you should do something just because you can. You know, don't be a why guy. Be a why not guy.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, why not? Yeah, exactly. Why not? I like that. There's something happened the other day. I there's got to be something where my wife asked why, and I just said, why not? It had to have been something funny.
There's actually a good Simon Sinek piece where he talks about, like, whenever you have, like, a naysayer in your group, you know, if it's like you come up with an idea and everyone's like, ah, that'll never work. Like this is a terrible idea. You ask that person, give me three reasons that it could work. Because not only is it a good mental exercise and it kind of gets them out of that habit of being so negative, but also they might come up with something that you might not have realized. So
yeah, always. Yeah. That it's, people are always helpful. You know, you never realize it, you know?
Well, yeah, what about you? What Gundam and or nerdy things have you gotten into this week?
Yeah. Other than playing a bunch of video games, you know, I was working on the masking the Duda, but I'm having a hard time masking it. And I don't know if it's because I am relying too much on perfection, but I'll put the tape, the masking tape, down on the pieces of plastic, and I'll just look at it and be like, ah, the lines just don't look right, and then so I'm not gonna paint it, but then it's like I just need to do it, you know. I've masked before, but not when it's lines that go over multiple pieces, you know what I mean? It's right. Like multiple pieces and curves. There must be more of a or another, that's what I meant to do. I meant to research processes.
I was going to say, how committed to using tape are you?
Oh, no. That just seems like it would be the,
because one of the things that I did recently is, you know, I had 3D printed a Gundam head in clear resin, because what I wanted to do was obviously install an LED in it. Go figure, me, the LED guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously when I went to paint it, I needed some way to mask it, but I was like masking the eyes, which, you know, is pretty difficult to do. So what I ended up doing was just taking some clay and putting it in that slot. And so then when I went to spray it, it sprayed everything, including the clay. And then I just took like a toothpick and picked the clay out. So it's kind of like using like that masking putty that people sometimes use.
Funny you say that, because that's what I do for those bit. I think with this, it's longer, it's wider areas over multiple pieces that also have like grooves and stuff. Like one, it's even a part of the shield that attaches and then it's articulated, and you have to do underneath also. So it's just one of those masking liquid, Barry BB is saying, and I wonder if I should just go at it and not worry about it being perfect.
Finished is always better than
perfect. Or do I not do the harder one? Because what I'm doing is I'm doing the commander paint scheme of the Zuda.
Mm.
But maybe, I don't know. I need to think on it because question. I also. Oh, go ahead.
Vote in chat. What do you guys think?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Should I do that or work on my Kiryu Mechagodzilla that I've already spray painted and now I just got to put it together?
Ooh.
Yeah.
How did the paint job look when you finally got the metallics down and everything?
Almost too good. Like, I feel like it looks too good. Like, oh, okay, here we are. So you can see, like, on camera, I'm showing it. This side, you can see where, when I was spraying it, you can almost see where I didn't get some of it. So, like, I'll have to go back and kind of repair some of that, but it is crazy the difference between, like, if we look at how kind of, if you can see how, like, pink almost the plastic is, and then making it the metallic. I can't believe how easy it was. And it's, let me grab the... It was this Tamiya color for polycarbonate.
Awesome.
I don't even know if that was the right thing to use.
I have come to appreciate quality paints. I have always been the kind of person that cheaps out on things. Paint is something that I will no longer cheap out on because since using some of the Tamiya acrylics, I mean, it is night and day. The quality of acrylic paint that you get with a dedicated model brand paint compared to like a craft store paint. It's just the fine particulate pigment powders make such a difference in terms of, you know, binding to the plastic and getting like great coverage where you can get a part covered in two coats instead of having to go over it 5-6 times. So,
you know, it's funny you're saying this because I feel like I've been relatively successful with painting considering I was never doing that before in my hobby, you know, just recently with Gundam. But I've always been using the Tamiya paints. So I wonder if it's because I've been using good quality paints. Maybe it's just always seemed to come out pretty good. Maybe it helps with the leveling. So, you know what
For
I mean?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there was a paint technique that I mentioned over on Discord that actually you inspired me to try out. And one of the things that I did was I tested it with, you know, enamel paints, high quality acrylic paints, and then, of course, like, you know, your typical craft store paints. And what was fascinating to me is that all of the nice paints worked out beautifully. And then it was like, as soon as I tried that craft store paint, didn't work. So I think it's very telling that you can be sloppy in your technique if you're using quality products, but you know, how do I phrase this?
It's not like the tool, but how you're using it. Are you trying to like get that. To that? Because yeah, with the paint, definitely. You could get a crappy paint, maybe if you're thinning it right.
Yeah. Cause there are definitely people that know what they're working with, and they can get some great results using even inferior quality paints. And the same thing goes with like model kits. There's a video that's almost done. I just, you know, now that I've got everything kind of settled in here, one of the things that I would say is like, and this is going to be a point that I reiterate in the video, is that like the Chinese knockoff of like bootleg model kits, what you'll find is that in the hands of like a master builder, you can get some fascinating results. And there are some prominent builders on Instagram that have built specifically these bootleg kits, and they have passed them off as authentic Bandai kits. Wow. I'm not going to name names, but I will say that there are some builders that have used, you know, bootleg kits and have done amazing work with them. So like, if you know what you're doing, you can do some wonderful things with not, you know,
there's product. A new one. Let me look. I have, what is it? Vic Hobby. Vic Hobby Mecha Paint Lineup. So Art Rovo Gundam, sponsor of this channel in this video, in the stream, it is going to start selling Vic Hobby Mecha Paint. And so he's actually going to send me a few to try and to show off, you know, so that might be something to try out. And that's what I'm interested in trying because I'm so used to the Tamiya, however you pronounce that, paints, but they work so well. Yeah. I'm interested in trying, especially something that's called the Mecha Paint Lineup because, you know, it makes it seem like you were saying it's like specifically made for the model kits and it might make it look nicer, you know,
yeah,
for I those mean, that aren't masters. Yeah.
That's one of those things that, like, you know, they get the glass files, right? Like, you can find glass files on Amazon that are cheap, that kind of do a great job at removing nub marks. Or you can buy one of the Gun Primer or the Steady brand, like, nano files, and you're going to pay more for those products, but you're not going to have as much trial and error trying to find one that does the right job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what? That reminds me, Ray Studio, I bought their pen marker set for doing chrome stuff, metallics, and it was so cheap. I mean, I say so cheap compared to buying, like, the Gundam markers, because it's essentially that, you know? Even though you can buy other brands markers, but with Ray Studios, you know, they're making them for use on model kits. And so,
exactly.
And yeah, that the stuff I already did with them, using them, look fantastic. And again, it's because they're good quality. Yeah.
You know? Dude, it's got me thinking that the next 3D print resin that I buy is going to be the Soraya Tech Mecha White.
Oh, they have one called Mecha.
What? They have one called, see, it's all about throwing Mecha in the name, right?
I know. You can get us with that.
Yeah, it's a, like, powderless resin, so it's designed to work with model kits for things that are meant to be articulated, which typically resin printing, you're going to get, like, if you try to put, like, a ball joint in and you start kind of moving it around, it starts grinding and creating that resin powder because it's like not good. Not good for the lungs, not good
for long-term.
Yeah, you don't want that stuff. Yeah. So yeah, Mecha White is evidently a resin that's formulated so that it reduces that.
That's cool that they thought of that and they made it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, so, and I think this weekend when I stream, I'm going to be working on probably both. I'll be working on both the Zuda. I'll just do a little bit on the Zuda, a little bit on the Kiryu. I'm actually trying to figure out what my next collectible review is going to be. I actually...
Did you already get a My figure?
A what? Yeah. I it could be this.
I was joking.
it could be that, but I don't think for the channel, you know, it would help with the algorithm. No, but so
fine.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, you know, I'm trying to be mindful of, okay, what's the next, you know, Gundam collectible I want to buy, and then what would also, you know, because I try to balance, I want to make it a video, so I want to at least get something I want, you know, versus what's popular or whatever. And and that's when it was reminding me, what's something that's popular that I've been getting into, and it's like the Strike Freedom. You know, I made that video Monday, and that was really me over the weekend. Just I think it's maybe due to exposure. Over time, you then start appreciating, like, the silhouette, the colors of the Strike. Like, it's now standing out to me. And so I was like, man, I had never really sat down to understand all of the Strike variants, the packs, however that works, the evolution line through the Freedom, et cetera, et cetera. And so I, made a video. And so that's kind of behind the scenes and sometimes how I make the videos. It's like, okay, I want to research something. Okay, let me line up the research in a way that I can then record myself going through everything. And so in that video, I went through the Strike Gundam with the Striker packs, the Freedom variants, all that stuff.
And it's now, still clear as mud.
What's that?
And it's still clear as mud.
Like, oh my gosh, yeah. No, that, even in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, which one was after that? Yeah, it's still, I know, it's crazy. But yeah, I want to get like either a Strike Freedom or Mighty Strike Freedom figure, but I'm not sure which one. There's this Chogokin Mighty Strike Freedom that looks really cool, but it's just, you know, $300 to $400, and it's like, I don't want to do that right now. And then they do have the Metal Robot Spirit Strike that's coming out this summer, and then they have the Proud Defender add-on. So it's like, I could just wait and get that, but I got to see what I like about the Mighty Strike Freedom, and then what the Strike does, the variance, is when it has the gold, like in the joints. Yeah. I think it's that, like, I'm starting to really enjoy that aspect of, you know, taking the seed, how it sort of has that UC realism, but then a little bit of flair.
Yeah, that really is what it comes down to, is just adding that extra little bit of anime to it.
You know, it's like, You see Gundam as New Balance. Seed is Nike.
Mm.
You see?
I see what you did. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay, yeah. No, so anyway, yeah, I'm thinking there might be another Strike Freedom collectible review in the future. And then there's the Mighty Strike Freedom kit to build that I would love to build. Although, like, every time I go to put it in my cart, I look at my backlog and I'm like, okay, I got to pick up one of those, which was then what I was thinking in my head. It's like, Adam, just work on a backlog item. And it's like, well, I am working on stuff. Won't be ready because then there's the timing aspect and everything. So anyway, I guess that's what I've been thinking about a lot this week. And then also the other video that went up, you know, speaking of building, is the high grades that they're planning on coming out for GQuack. So I made a video of that because that was another thing. It's like, okay, what have they announced so far that you can prepare to pre-order? And so they've got the high grade for the GQuacks, obviously. That's already out in some places. Yeah. Not all. And then
people
the
already posting customs of it. Like,
I know. Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah. It makes me so jealous. The Red Gundam, which is awesome. Awesome design.
Isn't it crazy that we got Red Gundam, like, Elmeth bits before we even got, like, a 1/144th scale high-grade Elmeth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's wild. I know, because when I see that, it's like, whoa, that's the Elmeth bits.
All right. I'm going to make a prediction here, right? Because we got the same thing when it came to the Chimera, the Typhoid's Chimera. Yes. And then a year later, now we're getting the Psycho Gundam Mark II.
Yeah.
I think that 2026, we might see a high-grade Elmeth kit.
I like what you're thinking. You know, especially if they just decided to do this big ZAM this year as a Robot Spirits. Next year, maybe make the P-Bandai be an Elmeth or something, you know.
They seem to be going that route of, like, doing more mobile armors and stuff, which I'm here for it.
Yeah. You know, it would be cool, too, to have maybe option effect parts to recreate some stuff. Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, anyway. Yeah, part of that video, it was... they also had the Metal Robot Spirits for the White Gundam and the Red Gundam, but no model kit for the White Gundam, but I'm sure that's going to happen, unless I just missed it. So it is interesting, you know, thinking this time last year, and maybe this is the cadence, this time last year, Seed Freedom movie came out beginning of the year. That's when all the model kits started trickling out and the Metal Robot Spirits. So it's interesting, same thing with GQuacks, January release, the model kit's rolling out, and there's Metal Robot Spirits.
And we got Seed Freedom in the spring, and then we got Requiem for Vengeance in the fall. Theoretically, we should be getting Hathaway, too.
Yes, okay. So that would be really cool if that's what happens.
That would be pretty sweet.
So another thing, if we're going to go down this route, with Seed Freedom, it then was shortly in February where it had the U.S. theatrical release, which is the same... here. So they even announced February 20th, New York is going to have a special screening. Wish I could be there. I think it's the 20th, 18th or 20th, because I think the 28th is then
the mass release,
which I checked the website, the G Kids, or what I checked, they still don't have an update of what theaters. I mean, luckily, I think I live in an area that they always tend to have the movie theaters near me somewhere.
I was going to say, because you saw the Gundam movie trilogy.
I saw Seed Freedom. Char's Counterattack is coming up. That Zeta movie trilogy that I was hoping for didn't happen. You know, we were kind of like, they've got that gap. That.
But we did get Zeta on Gundam Info.
Yeah, that is interesting. So it's almost like you don't realize they do plan out like this interesting continuity if you're just getting into the stuff. Like, there's a way to enjoy it. So I want to ask you something. With the Zeta on Gundam Info, and I don't think it's the case, because they did this with the movies. Did they just have them where they just had them all up to watch, or was it where it was streaming, like a premiere?
I think they were just all up to watch. Okay. Because sometimes, I remember seeing like one of the thumbnails was like the little episode.
Okay, and I think it's the one they probably always have up. They just unlist or... Okay, because there was a time, and I forget, this was like maybe a year or two ago, where the Gundam movie trilogy was streaming, and I'd wake up in the morning, and I guess that was in Japan time, because then people are in the chat. Like, that's like an experience I would love to recreate. And I'm going to throw this out there. What if you pay $9.99 a month, you get the Gundam app, where what it does is it has like a TV guide, and it has like where every week there's an episode of a certain series. Every day it's a different series.
Yeah. And,
but there's a live chat. And then it becomes like a VOD for like 3 months. And then it goes away, and then there's the other set of Gundam stuff that comes in. But the aspect I like is the live chat.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it could get bad, but maybe there's verification. That'd be easier to ban, you know, if people are paying for a service that, you know.
Yeah, very few people are going to pay to then, like, be a troll. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if you just get banned because, yeah, in games people, like, hate them when they get banned in a game and it's done. You know, it's anyway, yeah, just thinking out loud. I think they need to do something like this.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, something to make it an event. Like I would love to be able to watch you know what? Witch from Mercury was almost like that. Right?
Almost. Cause, yeah.
Cuz it would, and I guess you know what, that's interesting because when what was it
called? They call it simulcasting, right?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Or I mean, if you've ever seen one of those VSLs, like one of those Tony Robbins or Dean Graziosi, like those kind of hucksters that go on and do these big presentations. Have you ever seen one of these things where they do these like big like life coach or marketing things, and it's like they've got the TV screen behind them, and it's like all these people that are tuned into Zoom watching it live.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey did one. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but there came a point where he like hopped on one of his bongos, and he's sitting there tapping his bongo, and he's reading the chat off, and he's like, "Okay, yeah, all right, yep, living. We are living live. That's right."
What you just did right there.
Something like that would be awesome if it were Gundam themed. Yeah. Right? Like imagine if they got you know, a couple of the voice actors. And in that way, because this was one of the things that you and I talked about, like during the Seed Freedom kind of original airing events, similar to what they're doing with GQuax, where it was like just a New York and LA thing, and they had some of the voice actors come in. And I think that Gundam in the United States is still too niche to do an in-person event like that and expect as high of a turnout as, you know, something like if they were to do a digital version of that event. So imagine taking all of the ideas that you put into that and making it into a digital event where...
Okay, let me ask you something then. What's the difference between that and Gundam Base, where you go to Gundam Base and everything's sold out? Is the collectibles and Gunpla just that much more popular? People care about that just more than really watching a Gundam anime?
Possibly so. I mean... We talk about that a lot. Like, you know, it's kind of like Warhammer, right? You have like people that play Warhammer and then people that just buy the figures and paint them.
Yeah.
Same thing with Gundam, where it's like there are people that are just Gunpla fans. Like they just like building model kits. And then there are people that, you know, like you and I, that are really tied into watching the shows and talking about lore and things. And there is some overlap between that, but it's not one to one.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's very interesting. And it's like sometimes we think like the focus is the animation, like the story. And really it's like, guys, this is the commercial. You know, but I don't think of it that way. But it could be that then the people that are making decisions are like, okay, the lore. And they are making, even though maybe from the top, it's just the commercial, you know.
But, yeah, unfortunately so. But
but it's good stuff though. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, if Hathaway 2 really comes out at the end of this year, we've had a good couple years of Gundam releases.
Yeah, shows. Gundam fans are eating good, as the Zoomers say.
Yeah. And, okay, so before, because speaking of releases, movie as a release, I wanted to show off something here real quick. So let me do my screen share view. So someone new joined the Discord. The Gundam Explained Discord, and they were like, hey, where should I share my pictures? In Gunpla in collectibles or the finished Gunpla in Gunpla collectibles or works in progress and tips and tricks or whatever. I forget what I call the servers anyway. I was like, that's actually a good question. Put it in Gunpla and collectibles for now. But I did go ahead and make a art channel. It's called Gunpla Showcase. I did have it called something else, and then I changed it right before the show. Because I do think it's a good idea
Andrew, you're right. I mean, it's your Discord server.
You can I know. It's almost like, is it okay, guys? I changed the name. No, but I think what helps is just because there's so many more people that have been coming in, and there's cool stuff being shown to them, but I think this kind of helps, like, this is just, like, my final, just to not to be interrupted by, like, other random stuff, you know, to kind of let stuff, people's stuff shine.
Yeah.
An example, just, and mine aren't like fancy, you know, for instance, like my Real Grade 2.0, this was just me doing the decals, the top coat, so it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Yeah, here's even my Rising Freedom. There's nothing special was done to this. I just built it. And then PG Unleashed, and then there's Amuro. You can see Amuro at the bottom. He's like running toward it.
I love it. You get that the force perspective.
Yeah, to make it look like, yeah. And then this Epion. And these are stuff I've shared before, but this is to kind of get it started. So it's Axis Core Rep, which is a pretty cool name, who really cool ideas here, okay? So we're going to see a whole bunch of Witch for Mercury kits, but he has like a specific, and I'm going to see, can I make this look better for the stream? Not that way. Okay, so trying to, as it's cut off a little bit, you can see in the Discord, what I love the colors here. Because it's whites, it's off-whites, it looks like there's scribing that was done in areas that wasn't on the original kit. He said he's trying to make it look like a real grade, in which case, I think it does. Like, look at what, I don't know what the decals at this bottom by the skirts, the upper thigh, like, that's a neat little idea going on there.
It's kind of removed the gimmick of like the permit score and in place of it kind of put in what I mean, those look like metallic plates, like armor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm curious about. And maybe you could share in the Discord what he did for that. But OK, so was that. And then. Lafrith. Let me get that opened up. Yeah, sorry, I've got this thing all messed up, but there we go. Again, same color scheme. I love the whites. The grays, where the grays need to be, off-whites. The use of the decals, I love where it's like a lot of text as if it's trying to explain something, like the functionality. Like, those are my favorite types of decals. I love that they're being used here.
Well, and these look like... Because they're all a uniform paint scheme and, like, you know, the whites and off-whites, they look like aircraft. They look...
Yes.
Because, you know, there's something about, you know, having these Gundams in primary colors and, like, the white and pink of the Ilfrith, it's like, you know, they look more like toys. This looks more like a military piece of hardware or, like, you know, SpaceX, NASA type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this could be, like, in a modern, like, sci-fi movie. Like, that's what the design colors would be like. And actually, he's in the chat, Marcos, Axis Core Rep, Alarcon, sorry about that. The decals are the unused backing from the decal sheet. Oh, what we saw on the upper legs. That's
sweet. Great idea.
Okay. So there's that. The aerial. Again, looking good. Interesting what's going on. Yeah, where that permit stuff would be.
Clever idea. You know, I love whenever people kind of get creative with, whether it's decal sheets, whether it's the people that use a hobby knife to carve out the numbers and letters from the runners and then mount them onto the kits using plastic cement. That's always a cool trick too. So
yeah, just... You know, that always reminds me when I found out that they built the Death Star with just pieces from model kits. And it's like, at the end of the day, that's what you can just do at any time. Yeah, with the model kits, any little thing you could find, you can make use of. Another one looks fantastic. Lafrith Anavada bootleg. Oh, it's okay. I guess this is one that's hard to come by. That's expensive.
Yeah.
But looks great. I love the shoulder-mounted guns. Yeah, the decals. Let's see. What was the other one? Lafrith Thorn and Gund Volva, which that's, yeah, that, yeah, check, if you want to get a closer look, check out the channel in the Discord, links in the description. I like seeing the UNT Spacey on there. I think
that is very cool.
You know what? I was criticizing the Witch from Mercury designs, the mech designs. I mean, they're kind of cool, but with decal detail like this, it's almost like it makes it look more realistic. Like you were saying, kind of like the NASA designed thing. Like, yeah, this. So that's interesting. It's just thinking back to when I would look at the Witch from Mercury designs and always said, you know, they have interesting geometry. There are some panel lines, but not enough that makes sense in terms of like, oh, this looks like something that's machined and put together. But what helps is the decals. You know, I think that's what it is, because there's not a lot of that real type marking that goes on in Witch from Mercury. But
yeah, it really sells it when you have something that says like, hey, look out, this is an open hatch, or, you know, like those little kind of warning markings.
Because of the space, less of the little greebles and things around, yeah, the decals kind of help fill that in. That, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, so check that out. Hey, and please, people, yeah, post your finished Gunpla in that channel. And my plan is
broken up now because, you know, yeah, sometimes you do want to see the works in progress. Sometimes you just want to see that finished product.
Yeah, and I'm going to use that as a way to then during the live streams or during the podcast to look over some. So yeah, if so, perfect. Consider that. Yeah, and I think I wrote that at the top of the channel. So post your finished works of art, maybe featured on the Gundam Explained show. So if you don't want yours posted anywhere, don't post it there. Good okay.
Disclaimer.
So. Next up, cool topic. I want to talk about the Gundam movie because they announced it's going to begin production April 1st. And it's always fun to do fan casting theories. But before we do fan casting fan theories, and so everyone get ready. Get ready to type in your ideas for when we get to it. I just want to get something off my chest, and that is we're not going to fan cast Ryan Reynolds into anything. Okay. So Ryan Reynolds and I have been friends forever. I first saw him, Two Guys, Girls in a Pizza Place, or you know that show back in the day?
Yeah, I remember that one.
When I first met him then, and his personality on that show, I was like, you know what? We're going to have a parasocial relationship. I just know it. And ever since then, I followed all his work. Van Wilder, perfect time because I had already moved out. I was living on my own. Me and my friends, I think, saw it in theaters or rented Van Wilder and were like, this is the time of our lives, you know? And then Waiting. Remember when Waiting came out? That movie. Ugh. Like,
you
he
know,
was...
I could not stand Justin Long for the longest time. But
wow.
Ironically, I think the direction that you're going with Ryan Reynolds is like the inverse of my parasocial relationship with Justin Long.
Interesting. Okay, interesting. You might have to expand on that here in a second. He was good. That's a great movie, Waiting. But anyway.
Fun stuff, yeah.
Then Blade 3. I also have a parasocial relationship with Blade. Not really Wesley Snipes, but Blade. Where I think, you know, Blade is one of the greatest movies of all time. Blade 3, it's almost like I pretend it didn't happen. But I'll always be like, I love the whip he has in it. I've edited. I even told people this in Discord, I think. I edited and made a Blade Trinity movie that's just his fight scenes. It's very short.
But that's all you need to see.
Yeah, it's all you see.
It's so funny because, I have a parasocial relationship with Wesley Snipes because I hate paying taxes.
Oh! And
I'm pretty sure that when he pretty sure that when the judgment came down that he was evading his taxes, that the judge quoted to him, some motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill. Oh, is
wow. Well, okay, so yeah, when Blade 3 dropped and it seemed like he was barely in it, I was like, what's going on? And then you hear Ryan Reynolds and him had a feud. And I was like, you know what? Ryan Reynolds is a nice guy. And you know, Wesley Snipes, he's probably pissed that they took out his fight scene. So I get why he's mad. But it's probably not Ryan Reynolds.
Can't be, right?
So then Deadpool comes out, and he did a lot to push that. You know, he's that type where he can control things to make things happen. Deadpool 2 comes along, and the director of the original Deadpool, Tim Miller, had a direction they were going to go with the story. Ryan Reynolds didn't want to. It got to a point where Tim Miller left and didn't want to work with Ryan Reynolds anymore. Another Miller, TJ Miller, was very interesting. I'm just realizing this. TJ Miller, the actor that was in the first Deadpool, also said he would never work with Ryan Reynolds again. And there was this like old interview about how he was just a jerk. Wow. And it's an old interview like on YouTube, and the comments are from recently being like, And it's basically what I'm getting at is there's this movie that came out recently that his wife is in. He tried to take over production of it. And in the middle of doing so, the director is figuring this out and recording everything that's happening. And so when Ryan Reynolds and his wife go to call out this director, they can own the film. This director, his name is Justin Baldoni, I think. Yeah, then releases all of the stuff that they've been accumulating to point to Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are working together to try to take over the film. Horrible stuff that they were doing. Like, and this is not stuff where we think this happened. No, this is because of the court. There's cases going on. And anyway, this is like a personal thing for me to get off my chest because I've loved Ryan Reynolds for so long. I love Wesley Snipes as Blade for so long. There's a little bit of what happened then. We're feeling the reverberations of it now.
Yeah, you know, there's always there's always that experience where it's like, how many bad relationships do you have to have before you realize that you might be the toxic one? You know, how many? Because obviously, like you, most people don't consider Ryan Reynolds to be. You know, they're like, how can he's got such a great sense of humor? Of course, he's a great guy, you know. But then it's like, well, wait a second. He can't seem to hold a friendship for longer than like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, you know, an interesting thing too is, you know, and I love following the movie industry. Sean Levy, who made the latest Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds, they were going to be working on a movie with Hugh Jackman where it would be like a boy band that got back together, and it's Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. Sean Levy was going to direct. But now it looks like Sean Levy is going to do something Star Wars instead with Ryan Gosling and then not do stuff with Ryan Reynolds.
Superior Canadian Ryan.
Okay, that's funny. Which is it's very interesting because, you know, it's like he almost – well, it's like Sean Levy. It could be like, well, he's going to Star Wars. Of course he's going to do that instead of a boy band movie. You know, but, you know, I don't know. I love – that's why I'm excited about this kind of movie, because I love the craft of filmmaking, and then sometimes the behind the scenes stuff can kind of be interesting because that affects it's funny sometimes with behind the scenes drama where it's like, even with bands, it's like they all hate each other, but they created this work of art.
Yeah. You know? And especially when you have relationships in Hollywood that tend to be a little bit nepotistic, because if you look at the production company that's involved, you can almost, it's like a who's who of, you can already pick the cast out of a lineup, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So hold on. Sorry. I'm trying to, no, oh, yeah. I totally messed up. Hold on guys. Just a second. I'm trying to move the chat back to the top because this chat came in, I thought was funny. And then I just, and it's just LOL Sewer on a Reynolds rant convo. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. No,
I just think it's funny in the middle of a Gundam Gundam show. We're going to talk about Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. A little bit. We've got some beef. We've got the airing of grievances.
No, that was funny. Okay. So yeah, let's move more on to this movie thing. So they've announced April 1st, they're going to start filming the movie, which is insane. And it said filming.
Filming.
I know they said the production, one thing said production starts, but the words filming was used in one of the documents.
And tentative title.
Yeah, which is interesting that it's just Gundam, right?
What else would it be?
Well, okay, so good point. Good point. Because if they're going to be filming, they already know what they're going to be filming. So it's not like, what would they call Gundam, a wing story? You know, like, they're not going to say anything that's going to tip off to fans what this could allude to. So they're just Gundam.
What I will, so I'll request this, you know, from anybody who gets cast as an extra. If you're not sworn to secrecy and have to sign NDAs, because I was an extra in the Lincoln movie. which came out way back when.
Remember you told
so it's part of superstition in Hollywood where on the set, like, they never use the actual name of the film when they're describing the film. Even if it's something ridiculously easy, like Batman, like they're not going to call the movie Batman. They'll call it, like, you know, the Dark Savior. Like, oh, don't go into this movie set. It's called The Dark Savior. For Lincoln, I walked onto the set and they were like, hey, welcome to the set of Office Seekers. Just like a placeholder name.
Interesting. But
what is interesting about it is that that title typically has some underlying theme or a connection to what the real movie is about. And okay. So here's my, you know, paranoid, you know, conspiracy theory is that if you're an extra on this movie and you go to the set, it's probably going to be a soundstage, let's be honest, or like one of those volume screens, right?
Oh yeah.
The movie is not going to be called Gundam on the placard. It's going to be called something like, you know, Space Hero.
Okay, so you think even when, like, it on set, yeah, they're not going to be seeing Gundam all the time?
They try not to. It's a superstition thing. That's interesting. I don't know what the tradition goes back to, but yeah, that was always a thing. So, but, you know, if it's called something like Space Hero, then you know that it's not going to take place on Earth, you know, something like that. That's where my...
I see what you're saying. It's like they have to come up with a name just so they're not jinxing using the name the whole time. But two, they make the name related in some way.
Yeah, they make it some kind of fun allusion to what the film is actually about.
Well, it'll be interesting to see about that. So we've got that. April 1st, they start filming. I wonder then, casting. Does that mean casting is done right now?
Well, it has to be, right? Like, how can you film if you don't have a cast?
Well, okay, so then I wonder if, and this might be hard to do, because I think, me personally, I've fallen out of following actors, except for ones that I looked at all the actors I know and they're old.
Yeah.
Where I'd never thought of them as old, but it's because I'm old.
Am I old?
Yeah, it's like, am I old? No, but I wonder if it's because maybe they're going to go the route of no names, or are there any big names we haven't heard from? So, let me put this out there. I hate fan casting. I used to love it. But I think it's mainly, again, what we were just talking about. Due to age, I don't know too many actors. I think the most famous, and I don't know if you will remember this, was back in the 90s in the Wizard magazine. They had this X-Men, how they would cast it.
Yeah.
And they had Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier. They had Michael Biehn as Cyclops, which, you know, totally made sense.
That would have worked.
Yeah. And ever since then, that was part of my filmmaking bug. I've loved the casting idea. So yeah. I'd always love casting. I remember this was in the mid-90s, because this is right after I got AOL. I found Bruce Campbell's AOL email address, bcact@aol.com. I emailed him and asked him, why has he not been Batman in a movie yet? And he goes, I tried, but if they hire me, I'll do it. He answered me. I forget what else I had asked him.
It's
like
crazy, because, you know, you think about 2025 version of that, you'd have to get on Cameo and pay $100 to get a reply to an email.
I know. That was so cool about the early internet around that time. As, you know, oh yeah, I love that. But Bruce Campbell should come up in this casting. But yeah, that's like a good example how it's like nowadays, yeah, with the actors, it's these ones I grew up with or I liked. And I don't know, even when I see newer movies, maybe it's just because I haven't seen some of these actors or actresses enough to, like, when I think of younger actors right now, it's like you think the cast of Stranger Things, but then they're in everything already.
And they're also, like, all old. I mean, like,
yeah.
I recently watched that Saturday Night Live movie, and Finn Wolfhard is in that movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
A bit role, and I'm like,
hey, what'd you think of that movie?
It's overrated. I appreciate what they tried to do, but, you know.
So here's my thought. As a filmmaking enthusiast, I loved it for what was made. Like, if you think about how they filmed that and the story, the perspective, that's pretty impressive.
It was, you know, they were trying to recreate Charlie Work from
not familiar with
It's
that.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. If you guys haven't seen watch the episode Charlie Work.
I must be familiar with that. Is that from earlier seasons?
No, it was from like a later season, but it was almost shot entirely in one shot. And as a filmmaker, I'm sure you're going to appreciate some of the things that they do, because there are certain things that Charlie Day does while he's acting that cue what everyone else is supposed to be doing, because the camera follows him from room to room as he's like scrambling and trying to keep this stuff together. And one of the things he does is, like, as he's getting ready to come into a room, they can't tell the actors, like, okay, everyone get ready, Charlie's about to come in. And so what he does is he grabs a stool, and it's part of a gag, and he slams the stool on the ground, and that's his cue. Like, okay, so then Rob McElhenney and Danny DeVito are in the next room, and they're like, okay, we heard the stool, he's coming in, get ready, now we get, you know. It was like such an amazing episode. I'm pretty sure it won an Emmy, but like, ever since then, people have been trying to recreate that magic, that episode. It's similar to Birdman.
I haven't seen that, but I know what you're talking about. I love that. There was a movie it was either a movie I watched recently or a show that was doing that as well. And sometimes they'll do it where it's yes, it was that. Scott Adkins, that martial arts actor. I forget the name of the movie. Just came out maybe the past couple of years, but it was basically shot all on one take. But really, you could tell what tricks they used to where that's where a cut would be or something. But it's still neat.
But you appreciate those things.
Yeah. Smooth Life is asking, can we guess the fan cast and put it on the screen? Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I'm not going to put anything on the screen. I'm that lazy. No, but we'll kind of talk about it. So let's get into that. Because I was trying to talk about like the title to be like, well, what Gundam is this? Let's first just assume this is going to be the original Mobile Suit Gundam.
And let's hope.
Let's hope. if it's Amuro, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to have to be a new actor. That's what my answer is going to be. You guys could throw stuff in the chat, and I think someone might have earlier. I think it was something funny. Terry Crews. And Amuro Ray. Jet Li is Char Aznable. This is Smooth Life. Hey, good one. George Lopez as Captain Bright. Okay.
There you go. That's a good one.
What are your thoughts on Amuro Ray? Because I feel the same way. Timothy Chalamet is what Smooth Life is saying. And it's just now he's like 29. You know.
Yeah, but you know how it is. It's like, you know, Tom Holland was 32 when he played Spider-Man, right? Like,
are you sure?
Something like that.
I think he was 23.
23? I thought he was a lot older.
I don't know. We'll have to look that up. But
I mean, I know what you mean. These people that are in their 30s, that I'm always surprised to hear that they're our age, but you know, they look like babies. But now I think what you're probably going to see is some kind of nepo casting.
I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. Good point.
Is there a famous son of
Kurt Russell?
Okay.
Kurt Russell's son, Wyatt Russell?
Yeah.
He would be Slegger Law. He looks just like him. I think I think that was a legitimate fan casting we just did, guys. Okay? Like
that one was that's actually a solid one, yeah.
Yeah, Wyatt Russell and as Slegger Law, that actually worked. Okay. But, you know, I know what you mean, and I think it would have to be the rest of the cast what they decide to do, because you want to keep some of them the same age. And another one that I'm curious what your thoughts are is, like, Captain Bright. Like, I would be fine if they made him older.
Yeah, almost. They kind of have to age him up to be.
And I don't even think it would necessarily mess with the rest of the story if they wanted to, you know, make him 30, but maybe make him a gruff 30, you know, because he even came off as kind of that older superior anyway, even though he's 19.
Yeah. War right? Age of people.
Well, yeah.
There's that meme of you know, Ron Baral was 35.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, that kid, you know what? That's another thing, too, is I guess I kind of don't care necessarily age all the time, because there's always the, if it's a sci-fi setting, what are the cultural things people go through that might age them differently? And exactly. Be that there's a gap of that, too, depending on the,
yeah. And so, like, yeah, for instance, I saw Ultronimus in chat said, like, I don't care who, but James Marsden would be interesting to see. And I agree. Like, I love James Marsden. I felt like he kind of got shafted as Cyclops, but he's been great in the Sonic movies. He seems like a funny guy. If you ever saw that show, Jury Duty.
Yes. Really good.
You know, I could see him in like a Bright Noah role or like a.
What about Guerin? Making him kind of go a little mad and maybe really do his hair.
Of his acting chops to see if he could do that.
Instead of the pretty boy sort of part, he has it where it's slicked back and grayed and, you know, kind of, let him play that. I don't know. I mean, but that's, because I like him as actor. And that's another thing. Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring up because you were kind of alluding to that. Is I feel like, and actually I think Nintendo Gal was talking about this in Discord. It's like, I feel like they're going to have to pick, you know, like you brought up the Nepo Babies. Is there maybe a main huge thespian star that they were like, for instance, Anthony Hopkins as General Revel?
Mm.
Like, you know, people, oh, Anthony Hopkins is in this and he's playing a general. You know that.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it.
That sure. Might help with that. And I'm trying to think, is there any other.
To say it, but like, you know, even somebody like. Why is his name escaping me? He played Thanos.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh Brolin as like a General Revel or a Degwin Zabi would be a very interesting choice.
Oh, Dozel.
Be a great Dozel as well. Got a very stern face that can be imposing.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, man. But, okay, and so here's another thing.
Casting some of these other characters is so much easier than casting like the kids.
Yeah, I know. I think especially if they're older, it's easier to cast. And you know what would be interesting, too, is like by the end of this, we have a few more minutes left. We kind of think like, let's say each one is worth a certain amount and you can only have so many big stars in it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You've got $15 to cast. Some of these actors are a dollar. Some of them are two, three.
So because like, for instance, what if they and would they pull a Tom Cruise? I don't see him wanting to be in something he wouldn't be the lead in. But what if he was willing to take that bright role? You know, he would be, I think, a good bright. What do you think? For me, you don't seem that excited.
I don't hate it.
Okay. Okay. I like that answer.
I see in chat Smooth Life mentioning Glenn Powell, which, great and of idea. Course, Kyle says Glenn Powell has a punchable face, which is what makes him perfect as Commandant Wakane.
From
episode 4, the guy that like basically gives Bright the dressing down. And
yeah. I got to say, though, Smooth Life, Glenn Powell for sure, Aznable's a great idea, because I was thinking about Glenn Powell earlier because I was going through my head, what are these kind of bankable stars right now? Him as Char Aznable, great idea. Even though, again, he's older. I think he's 32. But he's an example of one because he looks younger than he is.
He is, for sure.
Yeah.
There's an actor that I always bring up for Char Aznable by the name of Cody Fearn. And the only thing that he's really famous for is, I think, being like a male model, and he was in the American Horror Story show. He has such an intense look and is like super blonde and blue eyed. Like he looks like Casval Daikun.
Okay, so that's a good point. I wonder if they might.
A relative unknown.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there's that. Yeah. Even if they were to. So it's very interesting because they could cast the leads as unknowns, but make it where so they don't have to pay too much. The one that's not in it too much, like, the guy, the first captain that died at the beginning on the white base. Why am I forgetting his name?
Oh,
he looks like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
He could be Bruce Campbell, or Bruce Campbell could play him. And that would be like a quick, you know how they could do that with actors, or because he's just at the beginning, he dies. So
Yeah. Well, it goes back to that Saturday Night Live movie. You know, all of the people that played the main cast, they were all relative unknowns. But then you had like Willem Dafoe was in it and J.K. Simmons was in it. So it's like they sprinkled in these famous actors in the older roles.
Which That's right. And they didn't have a lot of screen time, you know, but just enough to play off. And I think, yeah, so that's probably the direction it's going to go. Because, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people always like to say Tom Holland and Timothy Chalamet for Amaro. And to be honest, that is awesome. But I just don't see it happening.
I really hope it doesn't happen because then you're going to get Zendaya as Sayla.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, Sayla, for, you know, for the Sayla, there's a singer that I've been seeing ads for, her name is Sabrina Carpenter, blonde. Yeah.
Got the big like song that's on TikTok all the time.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. If you've seen her, she has the blonde hair. That's just like Sayla's. That was my first thought. But I don't know if she's an actress. If it was an actress like Florence Pugh, for instance.
Something like that. Or, you know, I would think go Nepo Baby and do like a Maya Hawke.
Oh yeah, I'm not too familiar with.
She was in like a season of Stranger Things.
I haven't watched it all. I stopped in two or something like that. But you know the thing about the Nepo Baby though, I'm gonna not in a derogatory way, but like that's a really good point to think when casting.
Because some Nepo babies are fantastic. I think Kyle and chat mentioned Jack Quaid, which Jack Quaid is fantastic in The Boys.
And he just is coming out with two movies just now. One that just came out. I forget the name. It's like one word. And then another that's about to come out called Novocaine. He should be in the movie. What would he be? Kai? Yeah.
That could work.
I think so. Okay. Well, you know what? It's about that time. We didn't really talk too much about the casting. Maybe we'll do some more later after we thought about it. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take what we talked about and kind of chart it down. Because I do want to get back to doing the weighing of like,
you know, we should just go through a list of current Disney Channel stars and like cast them just based on looks alone, because you and I don't watch any of these like tween shows.
That's a great idea. And I shout out, Kyle was saying the movie's Companion I was talking about. That's the other Jack Quaid one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to head out. All thanks. That was a lot of fun. We'll probably do this some more. There's going to be so much more Gundam movie news coming out soon. So thanks all for tuning in. Make sure you check the links in the description for Art Rovo Gundam, sponsor this channel. Steven's channel is in the links below. So are the other supporters of this show. Until next time, be cool.
Cheers, gang.